In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I often wonder what it would be like if I were to return to my home congregation as a guest preacher. For a little bit of background, I'll say this. My grandparents were longtime residents of Tampa or the surrounding suburbs. When my grandparents were married, there was only one LCMS congregation in the Tampa area. As the metro area grew, especially in the 70s and 80s, several other LCMS congregations were established. Almost all of them began in my grandparents' house. Not to boast, but the name Wagner is almost synonymous with Missouri Synod Lutheranism in the Tampa metro area. That's why I often wonder what it would be like if I were to return to my home congregation in Carrollwood, a Tampa suburb, and be about the task of ministry there. They know me there. They've seen me when my family would drive down from Fort Gordon in Georgia for a holiday break. They received me as a member when I went away to college and often saw me during that time. And in a sense, they saw me grow up and certainly heard stories of me and the rest of my cousins from my grandparents and aunts and uncles. I was ordained in that congregation and was a first-time celebrant of the sacrament there that afternoon. And while it's not the same for a pastor who grew up and spent every Sunday of their young lives in the same congregation, there is a certain renown that I have with Lutheran circles in Tampa that most others don't share. So when I wonder and imagine what my return there would be like, I am confident that I would be met with some contempt and resistance. For one thing, sadly, I think that many Lutherans in Tampa suffer from a lack of proper catechization that has plagued the LCMS for a few generations now. So to hear a preacher that they know quote from the Small Catechism and the Book of Concord, as he likes to do, could easily be received as a show of spiritual or better knowledge, special or better knowledge, and be met with resistance and complaint. How dare you presume to teach us this? And how can you be like that would be added to the regular litany of complaints? Familiarity breeds contempt is an idiom learned from Aesop. Even so, Aesop was not the only one to say it. In today's gospel, Jesus said something similar. Truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. Jesus grew up in the little town of Nazareth. The people there knew him as Joseph and Mary's son. They watched him grow up and learn to care for his family as any good Jewish boy was supposed to do. He learned his stepfather's trade, and so the people knew of his craft and may have had some of his creations in their homes. They knew that he left town and went into the wilderness around the Jordan and was baptized by his relative, though his whereabouts for the 40 days after that were a little sketchy when he was tempted by the devil. After his time with Satan and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. In such a short time, Jesus had acquired a reputation outside of Nazareth. He had quickly developed into a glorious teacher. In fact, he had even already begun casting out demons and healing diseases, according to Mark. Certainly, news of this spread to his hometown. Then one day he returns home. On the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. While there, he took the position to read. He was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and found the 61st chapter and began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When he finished, he handed the scroll back and sat down, the position a teacher took when he was teaching. And so you might imagine that when all the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, they were so in amazement. Eyes wide open, mouths to match. What was Jesus going to say? What is this little carpenter going to do? Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, as I read from Isaiah, I am proclaiming to you that I am he whom Isaiah was writing about. I am the one who gave Isaiah the words to proclaim and write, and I am the one who those words are talking about. I, Jesus of Nazareth, am here to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Truly, truly, I say to you that in me is the year of the Lord's favor. The people marveled at this. These are gracious words indeed. It's a time of to rejoice if now is the time of God's favor. But there was also an air of contempt about them. Wait a moment. Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the same man we knew as a little boy who we saw grow up? The same boy whose tears we wiped when he scraped his knee? The same boy who played with our children? The same boy who caused his parents such grief by staying behind in Jerusalem when we were traveling back home? How can he, of all people, say this? There's no way this same boy could be the Messiah that God promised. So knowing their minds and hearts, Jesus continued his sermon. Doubtless he will quote to me this proverb, "Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." In other words, prove yourself. We've heard the stories of you being a glorious teacher. We get that. We saw and heard that today. But we've also heard the stories of your miracles in places not here. Do something here too, so that we may see and believe. And Jesus continued, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." The people expected miracles, so Jesus brought up two miracles from the past, performed by two of the greatest prophets in Israel's history. But notice to whom these miracles were performed. During a time of great famine in the region, many in Israel were suffering, but to none of them was relief given, only to a widow in Zarephath, a Gentile. Israel's history is replete with lepers, and none of them were miraculously healed by Elisha, but he did, by God's word, cleanse Naaman, a Syrian, a Gentile and enemy of Israel. What's the moral of all this storytelling? Miracles are not meant to prove God's credentials to those who already have his word. Jesus was in the synagogue and read from the Isaiah scroll to the people of God assembled in that place. He preached the word of God to them. They had no need of miracles. They had God's word on it. Also, it was a reminder that God was the creator and redeemer of all, Israel and Gentile alike, and that Israel was supposed to bring the good news of salvation to the nations. It is a lesson that fills the book of Isaiah, who wrote passages like, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. Now, as for me, and going back to Tampa, I'm not claiming to be the second coming of Christ. For one thing, I didn't come as he left, a sure and certain sign that I am not he. But the message that I am given to proclaim is the same as his, whether that be here or there. Now is the acceptable year of the Lord. The words that you heard from Isaiah 61 are fulfilled in the life of Christ and in your own lives. Jesus of Nazareth has done all those things Isaiah spoke and wrote of, and you, dear people of God, are the recipients of that fulfillment. To preach the gospel to the poor. To you, poor, miserable sinners, is proclaimed the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To you who are weighed down by the cares and worries of this world, is declared that Jesus has borne all of your cares and burdens, and he promises you eternal rest in life everlasting. You have his word on that, a word that is sealed to you in your baptism. To proclaim liberty to the captives, you who are captive to sin have been set free. The burden of your sin was taken from you by the Christ and crucified with him. Our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. And recovery of sight to the blind. That blindness that prevented you from seeing God in Christ has been healed. Through the waters of holy baptism, you have been given the eyes of faith that can look with confidence upon your God and recognize him as your creator and redeemer. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Once you were at odds with God and children of the devil, oppressed by him and his deceit that you are no beloved creation. But now Christ has come and defeated the devil, crushed his head by his death on the cross, and freed you, his most cherished creation, from Satan's power and deceitful oppression. Yes, dear hearers, now is the acceptable year of the Lord. You have his word on it. Do not be like the Nazarenes who looked for God's favor and power and miracles. You know Jesus by his word because faith comes by hearing. That does not mean that he leaves you without miracles. There in simple means of water and bread and wine, combined with the word of God, is the greatest miracle of all. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. God's promise to those who believe is not for miracles for this life. On the contrary, God's promise for those who believe is resurrection from the dead and life in the world to come, just as you confessed. Yes, dear baptized, now is the year of the Lord's favor. Therefore, joyfully proclaim that word of God to the nations. For just as Elijah and Elisha were sent to Gentiles in Israel's day, even to the enemy of Israel, the church today is sent to Gentiles of this day and age to proclaim that in Christ there is forgiveness and life and salvation. Just as Israel had the word of God in Isaiah that they were called in righteousness to be a light to the Gentiles, so the church also has the word of God in Matthew that tells you to go and make disciples of all nations, of all people, baptizing and teaching them. What a joyous task to be about, to share the good news of salvation that you have been given, to share the words of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Yes, dear friends in Christ, now is the year of the Lord's favor. The gospel lesson ended with the people of Nazareth rising up against Jesus and attempting to throw him over a cliff. It is tempting to do something similar, especially when you don't get your way with God, when he doesn't answer your petitions in timely fashions or the way that you wanted. You want to throw him over the cliff of your lives. Dear hearers, do not put God in your little boxes. The point is not to have your way with God, but that God has his way with you. Because when God has his way with you, it is most certainly the year of the Lord's favor. For that is when you confess your sinfulness and once again hear that precious gospel, have your broken hearts healed, be released from captivity, recover your sight, and are set free from oppression. And so it is my joy and privilege to proclaim to you who are here and receive his word that God has had his way with you and does have his way with you, that you have received his favor because you are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.